Mm-hmm. At first a small amount, and eventually larger and larger and larger.
Right.
Until we see we needed a deliverer, Moses. Now, it's important to know, you can study this in the book of Judges, repeatedly God delivers. There's no need for us to go to bed wringing our hands as believers, panicked and afraid. This is a time for us to shine. Let's remember, God is a deliverer. And we can, this may be difficult days, but God never promised it was going to be easy. You know, when David and the mighty men in the Bible went to war, those were real battles. And yes, they came out of it victorious, but they came out of it bloodied and bruised and worn out. These are maybe real battles on our hands, but we can do this because the God of the universe is ours. He loves us, and he's there to cover us. And as we listen and follow our inquiry of what do you want me to do, Father God, and he tells us, mm-hmm. when we walk down our staircase out into our individual lives, that is going to be us operating as light in a season of darkness. And as it gets darker, and I don't know where it'll go, but I know that I don't lose sleep over it. I know that the God who loves me is going to deliver us. He's going to deliver this great nation. He cares about the French and the Greeks. He cares about us. He's going to do this thing. But we can wrestle with mammon or poverty. We can wrestle with these, or we can navigate past those things and navigate into a spirit of adoption.
All right. I agree with that, and I think that's where we ought to be heading. But if we have found ourselves in the grip of this Babylonish spirit of mammon, one thing manifested by the very thing that has our nation in a grip, and that is debt beyond all measure. And the average debt of most Americans, just in credit cards alone, is somewhere in the range of $30,000. That being the case, if we're in bondage, and you have said in your book that debt is a bondage, what do we do? It seems that there are some simple answers to that.
Yes, there is. We set to the task. This is us. The phrase in the Word of God is bound in spirit. It comes from Acts, where Paul is bound in spirit to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he is bound to a task. And right now, we're talking about debt. If we are in debt, the thing that we bind ourselves, committing ourselves to in Jesus' name, is to get out of debt, to learn to live within our means, to actually pick up, and this is where dominion and all of these things begin to tie together.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to own our responsibility. Let's live within our means. If we have to tighten things up, we tighten things up. If we have to get another job, we get another job. If we have to create and invent ways to make income, we ask the Lord for that grace and we go and do it. But the thing is, we set our face like flint toward these things.
Well, I appreciate so much your exhortation and encouragement. Much of what you've said to us here today is in the form of exhortation, encouraging believers to embrace the fullness of God's call to live as prosperous souls before Him. But it means we have to submit to His Word, His will, and His ways in every aspect of our lives. And I appreciate so much, Steve, what you've done. I think the book is a tremendous encouragement for us in this very challenging and crisis moment in American and world history. Again, friends, your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries will put money and the prosperous soul in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us as daily we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Remember, the just shall live by faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faith.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. Well, for the next half hour, they're going to be the views of Sharon Harris and Dottie. We're going to be talking about the heart and body extract. And then at the half hour, we're going to talk to Barry Shamus about what's going on over in Israel and maybe a few comments about what's happening financially. You know, they're really telling us things are really so much better this Christmas. A lot of people are out there buying, and this is going to bring a lot of jobs. And, well, I suppose it is going to be a lot of jobs. You buy television, the television made over in Taiwan, and if you bought an iPod, that's made in China. If you bought one of these artificial Christmas trees, that's made in China. You bought new shirts, why, those are made in Thailand. And so many of the items that we see in the stores today are made in other countries, and we're creating a lot of jobs, ladies and gentlemen, but they're not jobs here in America, because there's been an organized effort to shift America's jobs, our textiles, our electronics, our automotive, our steel, our aluminum, so many of the things we produce are produced in other countries, part of a planned program. Well, right now we have on the line here with us Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Dr.?
I'm doing just fine. I understand you're going to take a little vacation here.
Yes, I'm going to be taking a little vacation, but Healthy Hearts will be going on. We have staff on hand, so...
All right.
Everything will continue as normal. It just happens that Brian and I, my husband and I, are going away, but Tony and Marsha will be looking after things in my absence.
Well, I'm sure, and everything will be fine. I think you need to get away once in a while. Otherwise,
right.
Working as hard as you do, there's real problems.
That's right. We need a break sometimes, yes.
Well, how is the heart and body extract? Is it still selling all throughout the world?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have clients all over the place, the Philippines, Taiwan, Malaysia, U.K., Australia, New Zealand, Canada, United States, sure, yeah, lots of people, so.
Well, of course, Heart and Body Extract does help to support Radio Liberty, and we appreciate that. Well, why don't you tell us why people should be taking Heart and Body Extract, and you can tell us what's in it and why it's important that people use it.
Well, given the state of our nutrition, people's diets, even if a person is eating well in terms of lots of fresh vegetables and fruits and taking supplements and drinking good quality water and having good quality lean protein, for many people, it's still not enough to give them what they need to be able to be having really good circulation and really good heart support. And I was kind of like in that situation myself back about 10 years ago now, 45 going on 46. I thought I had a good diet. I thought I was doing everything right, but I was actually going downhill pretty quick. I mean, my blood pressure was high. I was starting to have congestive heart failure problems, an enlarged heart, and swollen ankles, and I wasn't able to fit into my normal shoes anymore. I was very tired, lethargic, needed to have a nap at 3 o'clock in the afternoon just to get through the day, having irregular heartbeat episodes and palpitations, and boy, oh boy, it wasn't a very good situation, and I thought my diet was good. So anyway, we looked for something natural to try to help my situation, and that's what brought about the Heart and Body Extract, which is an organic and well-crafted herbal formula, a liquid formula made out of herbs that have been around for many, many years, all natural, no negative side effects.
Of course, we know that there's cayenne, and there's garlic, and there's, we know there's hawthorn. What are the other items that I don't remember?
Well, sure. Yeah, it has 10 different items in it, and it's an excellent herbal formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. And what it has in it is garlic.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Go right ahead, Sharon.
Well, 10 ingredients the formula has, and they're all organic or wild-crafted. Organic meaning grown in organic farms, and then wild-crafted meaning that it grows in the wild. So the first ingredient in the formula is garlic, and garlic is known to promote a healthy immune system. It's a powerful antioxidant. Antioxidants can help the body to fight against damaging free radicals. It also supports normal blood pressure and cholesterol levels already in the normal range. Next in the formula is hawthorn berry and hawthorn leaves. Hawthorn is known to restore and stimulate the heart and the arterial circulation. It regulates and balances the whole cardiovascular system. Next in the formula is coleus. Coleus is used as a tonic for promoting a healthy heart and lungs. It supports healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Next in the formula is motherwort. It's a circulatory stimulant and a relaxant and a nerve tonic. Next is bilberry, which is very good for the eyes, night vision. It dilates the blood vessels and it promotes a healthy immune system. Next is butcher broom, which maintains healthy vascular permeability and assists the circulation. Next is mistletoe, which promotes a healthy immune system. It has a calming effect on the body. It'll support healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Next is kelp, which is used mainly for iodine and the effect it has on the thyroid. Next is ginger, which will help to support liver function. It's nervine, and it stimulates the circulation, especially in the extremities. And next is cayenne pepper. This is a fabulous herb, and it equalizes the blood flow in the body, enhances the effect of all of the herbs in the formula. It'll stimulate the body and organs properly so that they can cleanse and function optimally.
So that's all, the 10 of them, and they're there, and they seem to work pretty well. Do they think they actually help one another, or do you think that they're better because they're all of them there? Does any one tend to accentuate the activities of the other? Do we have any way of knowing?
Well, it's very important in the effectiveness of formula that the proportion is correct and that the synergy of the herbs are correct. So given the kind of results that we get with the formula, with so many different systems being improved at the same time, it's one heck of a very powerful, effective formula, yet at the same time very safe. So it's crucial that the balance be proper and the proportion be proper, and that it be liquid, and then the quality be organic or wild-crafted. So all of those things are very important to get the effectiveness of the formula to be proper for you.
Okay, this is Dr. Stan. This is me. I'm Sharon. Just saying, you know, this is a combination of motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom, cayenne pepper, calaris, garlic, hawthorn, mistletoe, and kelp. And basically, there are 10 different products in it. And it seems to work very efficiently. Oh, we've got on the line one, Dottie. Hi, Dottie. How are you doing?
Well, doing great.
And how long have you been taking the Heart and Body Extract?
I've been with my best buddy for 6 years now. This last July, I discovered it and started taking it and benefited from it immediately, which I feel I was very fortunate to learn exactly what the benefits would be for me. You know, everybody's different and the formula is the same, but it benefits your body in its particular needs. And my feet were the things that were really bugging me at that time. But I also had diabetes too, and high blood pressure, and had arrhythmia where they had to stop and start my heart again. And so, and I'd lost my vision, my central vision, and it immediately started working on that also. So after improving my feet for the first 24 to 48 hours, and I was elated over that, then within a week, I started helping my vision because I had had capillary hemorrhage in front of my retinas causing me to be without my central vision. So it started cleaning that out, and my vision started improving. It's not perfect yet, and I don't know that it ever will be, but it is greatly improved, and I have my equilibrium back. My skin, my hair, my nails are better. My liver and my pancreas and my kidneys are greatly improved from a 20% range of functioning to a 90% today. And so it's a progress day by day, a method whereby you nourish your body with heart and body extract.
Okay, well, Sharon, would you like to get your telephone number out, send your webpage so people would know how to get in touch with you? And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Sharon or Dottie, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call and you can talk to either one of them. But Sharon, how can people get in touch with you?
We have a couple ways to get in touch. One would be the telephone. We have qualified people to answer questions, and the phone number to call is 866-295-5305. Again, 866-295-5305. The website to have a look at is heartandbody.com. Again, heartandbody.com. That's a very good website, a very busy website, lots of orders on that one. There's lots of different shipping methods available for the customer, priority mail, UPS, ground, second day, third day, overnight. And for the folks that are listening overseas in the UK, we have express mail available and also air mail, so different kinds of ways to ship. So the website's excellent, lots of information on that website. And again, that is heart. About 10 years now.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness.
Amazing how the time flies, but it's 10 years. I started this company when I was 45 going on 46. I am 55 now. Wow. So going on 56. Wow.
Well,
so that's 10 years.
Well, I think Sharon's been with us for almost a year, and we've certainly enjoyed working with her, and certainly we've said nothing but a praise from the people who've taken the product. Well, basically, you know, as far as people here in the United States taking it, you know, basically, do you think is the number actually increasing or decreasing or staying about the same?
The number of people taking the heart and body extract, you think?
Is that what right, you're right.
There's more and more people all the time because, you know, we are proactive in terms of reaching people and letting people know what we have to offer. So we're continually adding new customers to our customers, and of course we have a lot of repeat business. We have a lot of referrals, so it is definitely keeping on growing and growing and growing.
Well, how long does it take before people begin to notice an effect?
Everybody's different. We are all different. For myself, to get my blood pressure to balance, that was a couple of weeks. How long was it taking for you, Dottie, for your blood pressure to get down to where you wanted to be? And
well, it was probably about three to four weeks. It had a lot to do in my body.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so, that's the thing. So, yeah, we're all different. Some folks might notice it in a week, and some folks a couple of weeks, and other folks a month, and sometimes we have some people that take going into the second month. So it's very important that a person be patient and persistent because we all are very different and all unique, and very important to be faithful to the formula. If a person's faithful to the heart and body, he'll be faithful back.
Well, I know one of my friends told me that she'd really had a lot of difficulty walking. She had a hard time walking down, I don't know how far it was, to the mailbox. It was a fair length of walk. And she was having trouble down there, and she said once she started taking it, it really got her walking ever so much better. Do you hear this sort of story from some people?
Oh, we do. We hear a lot of really incredible stories. A few hours ago, I was doing another interview with a radio personality, and one of the fellows was on, and he said, "Sharon, I can't tell you." And he's from Seattle area, I think. It's a 509 number. It's definitely Washington. Maybe not Seattle. It could be Spokane, maybe. But anyway, the gentleman was saying, "Sharon, I thank you for this formula. I had a lot of different problems." He had what was it, a regular heartbeat, a high blood pressure, he had diabetic problems, and he was really not feeling well. He couldn't walk very well. He just didn't feel well. He had low lethargy and low vitality, and he said within about a few weeks, but everything was really improving. The blood pressure was improving. His blood sugar was improving. The heart was regulating. He was having more energy. And so I said, well, thank you very, very much for sharing the good news of what it did for you. But this is something that happens very, very frequently. We have testimonials either online, like an email, or people calling in to let us know that it's really making a difference for them and that they're very grateful for it and they're very happy about it. And he also mentioned this particular individual that he had a 15-year-old dog that was having problems with arthritis that wasn't able to walk up and down the stairs, and now the dog is able to walk better and walk up and down the stairs easier after using the formula for about a month. So it's actually a very good formula for dogs and cats, too. And along that topic, I have a 21-year-old cat. He recently had a vet examination. And when the doctor did the blood reports, he says, this is amazing. This cat's liver function is excellent. His pancreas function is excellent. His kidney function is excellent. It's remarkable. He's 21 years old. He just couldn't figure it out. How come this cat was so healthy? But we do give a cat heart and body extract twice a day.
Well, did you tell him what you were doing?
Yes, I did. I did. And I told him that the cat has... a variety of different foods to eat, too, which is good. You know, don't want to feed the cat the same thing. But that was also another key to his longevity is give humans need different kind of foods, too. Variety is very important to have good variety.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're out there and you have a question for Sharon or for Dottie, and we've had them on before, but certainly maybe somebody else out there has tried it and would like to comment on it. Under any circumstances, it's been around for pretty close to 10 years. It's certainly being used all over this country, and I know in Canada, and I've actually had contact from some people in other countries who've used it, seem to be very, very pleased with it. Well, basically, of course, this is based upon herbs, and really it's so different than the traditional medicines here in the United States. People are always trying to find some new great miracle breakthrough medicine, but these are simply the herbs that have been around for thousands of years and have had medicinal purposes and uses in the past, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct, and that's exactly what our formula is. It's nutrition. It's food. It's a nutritional supplement, and the thing is when we get older, we don't require more calories, but we require more nutrition, so it provides the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients that are found abundantly in the organic herbs that supply the body with what it needs to be at optimum health.
Well, of course, garlic has certainly been around ever since the beginning of time. You know, people have used that. I think they used it certainly in ancient societies as a medicinal purpose. We don't use it as a medicinal product today, but certainly you get that in your heart and body extract.
Yes, it's actually a very important ingredient. Of all the 10 ingredients in the formula, the number three in terms of importance would be garlic, hawthorn, and the cayenne pepper. Those are the three big ones.
And I'll tell you what, you can certainly tell when you take it because you get that taste of cayenne pepper. And actually, after a while, you sort of get used to looking forward to it. And we take it every morning, certainly after we did our early morning program. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Once again, what is your telephone number, Sharon?
The phone number to call us is 866-295-5305. Again, 866-295-5305, and the website is heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com.
Okay, fine. So basically heartandbody.com, the heartandbody.com, and basically you can go there and get the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued.
Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
If we were to focus, let's say, on the bone and joint extract for bone and joint support or the female balance to help with hormone support for ladies, we would have lots of customers and lots of orders for that product. We chose the heart and body to really focus on, and that's where I would say 95% of our business is with the heart and body. However, we do have a lot of people that are heart and body customers, and they come to find out, oh, you do have other formulas, and they do order other formulas, too, okay, along with the heart and body.
Okay. Dottie, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
Yeah, I was going to say I use the stabilizer also because my diabetes was so bad, and it's helped to control my sugar levels. And then I eased off of it and just maintained with the heart and body. So it depends upon what the person needs in their health condition as to what they need to address. But it's all on the websites there, and, of course, Sharon and our counselors are available for a consultation at any time on that 866-295-5305 phone number so that we can be of service to anyone with their special conditions and things that they might need to address. But heart and body is the one that covers everything. But if you have special needs, special addresses, it's there, and it's all, and it all works. It's all natural, and it's super stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's a good point. Any one of our formulas are very effective, and they every one of them are very effective. So, something to be, you know, very I'm very happy about that. That any one of the formulas are really, really good, and they'll work effectively and pretty quickly. Although everybody's different, you know, most people, you know, are going to get results in a few weeks. You might have some people in a few days, some people going into the second month. But generally speaking, the response time is really quite quick because the products are very effective.
And, of course, basically you suggest they be taken sublingual so they'd be absorbed right into the bloodstream. Well,
right.
Why don't you get the web page out and telephone number one more time, and then we'll let both of you go.
Okay. So the main website to look at for the Heart and Body Extract is heartandbody.com. Again, heartandbody.com. If you'd like to check out all of our other formulas, that would be healthyheartsclub.net, healthyheartsclub.net. And the phone number is 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305.
Okay, fine. Well, you have a wonderful vacation. We'll talk to you when you get back.
Okay, thank you so much, Doc.
Thank you, and Dottie, you too, and I hope we both have a wonderful Christmas season. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Of course, we have somebody calling in, and well, we just have to wait and see. We want to talk to them. I'll ask our producer to go ahead and get Barry Samish on the line here, and we'll have some little extra time with Barry. So if you're there, why go ahead and please, Ed, go ahead and get Barry Samish for us. But as we look and see what's happening as far as the economics are concerned, certainly we are being told that more people are out buying this year than they have in the past. And I noticed an awful lot of people out today when I went out to do a little shopping. But what's so interesting, of course, if you stop and think about it, is that shopping going to stimulate our economy? No. It's going to stimulate the economy in China and in Thailand and in Taiwan, and in India, and in certainly in Malaysia, but it's not going to stimulate the economy here because we've intentionally and purposely spread our transferred our wealth to these other countries. Our wealth is based upon our production, and unfortunately, why, of course, our production is being intentionally and purposely shifted overseas. And until you understand that we allow the other countries to discriminate against our products, whereas we don't discriminate against their products, and you have to ask yourself why. And the reason for it is because, of course, we want to already transfer America's products, lift the living standards up in other countries, and lower the living standards here. We notice that certainly India is putting in a massive arrays of solar panels there. But, of course, they're not going to allow American produced panels to go in there. They're going to, of course, put up barriers so that they can stimulate their own industry. It's only logical that India would want to be able to stimulate their solar panel industry. So we don't get in there, but of course we allow Indian products to come in here, and of course we offshore many of our jobs to India, and many times when you call in for support on your electronic products, and you know, you get somebody it sounds like is a like he's Indian, but he claims his name is Bob, and he's calling from Chicago. It's really, of course, Raj, and he's calling from Calcutta. We are intentionally offshoring our jobs to India to build up their economy, whereas they're putting every barrier in the way they can to keep American products from being utilized there. And we'll be right back with Barry Samish. We've got with us Barry Samish. How are you doing, Barry?
I'm fine.
Well, why don't you bring us up to date on what's going on over there in Israel? And for those of you who don't know, Barry Shamis, Barry is an Israeli patriot who lived over there for 30 years, an investigative reporter, and he stepped on a lot of toes. He got out a lot of truth that nobody else was getting out. And in the end, of course, there were attempts on his life, and he was forced to flee to the United States. And, of course, we like to have him on every week to keep us abreast of what's going on in Israel, because I believe what's going on in Israel is could very well be pivotal to what's going to be happen here in the United States. So, Barry, you pick up the story.
I'm not used to a half an hour, so we have to do sound bites. There's no major analysis here.
Well, Barry, I'll tell you, you'll have a full hour next week, but I'm forced this week was a nightmare. Well, you go ahead and complain if you want to. Go ahead.
Well, I was. I just said I have to make it into a soundbite today. The week was just as busy as every other week. Let's begin with the fact that I'm the most unacknowledged writer about Israel, and so many people just take my stories. We're now talking about the story I wrote a month ago about, the missile attack. The Arabs, their plan for gathering tens of thousands of missiles to shoot them off in one night before Israel could become mobilized. No one thought of that. I've been saying it for the last 5 years. But now everyone's thinking about it, because in the last month there have been a spate of stories that just took my quotes one by one, and now, there's a new quote that everyone is latching onto, and I'm not going to. I'm just going to say that General Gadi Eisenkot, now he is the commander of the northern front of the IDF. And he, like a bombshell, like we didn't know this, like I haven't been saying it, that Israel has no anti-missile systems for its people. Now, nonetheless, I know that and you know that, but the Israeli people are shocked. They were told they've got an arrow system and an Iron Dome system. And
Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamis. Right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply talking about the fact that there's a very real missile threat to Israel, and as the general in charge of the northern sector of Israel had made the announcement recently that there is no missile defense for the Israeli people, and it might be a little difficult for them if there was an attack. They do have certainly the Arrow and the Patriot and the other missile anti-ballistic missile systems, but they're to protect the military. That there
they
is
don't work. There's nothing.
All right. So basically, now, Chris, I find it very difficult to believe that an Israeli general would make that statement. I'm sure he did. It's been reported all over the media. But we would have to ask why he would make a statement like that, because he knows it would panic the public and would almost be an invitation to the enemies, and that would be Hezbollah and Syria and Hamas, to launch a missile attack at Israel. And, of course, I'm going to get Barry's impression. You don't want my impression. You want to know what Barry thinks. So what is the significance of an Israeli general, a key general, making a statement telling the Israeli people, we have no means of protecting you in case of a missile attack, and, of course, it might cause some discomfort for the public. Discomfort?
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
He was drunk and overheard at a bar.
Is that the case?
No, but he might as well have been.
All right, fine. So basically, don't put out bad information. He made this statement in public to a reporter, and he never should have made the statement. And the question is,
I think he should have. And I've been making the same statements, and it's about time there's some truth in the air. I know a little bit about anti-aircraft missiles. I used to shoot a few. And there's nothing that can stop a missile. And he says so in this interview, that in the event of multiple rockets, we are helpless. What he said is that whatever protection we have is only for military bases,
And again, that's primarily the Air Force bases to make sure planes can get off the ground and the runways aren't destroyed. Without an Air Force, Israel, well, that is the primary armed force in Israel, is the Air Force. But again, as I said, there's nothing that works. Nothing. And he said that. And now what he said, that we're going to try and knock down a few missiles in our military bases, but none of them, none of our missile systems, anti-missile systems actually, are in place to protect any citizens. And yeah, he used the translated word is, well, it's from the Hebrew inochut. They translated discomfort. He warns the citizens of Israel that they are going to suffer discomfort while the war goes on. Discomfort, your apartment building is rubble.
That would be just like somebody saying to the people of New York, you know, if there's a nuclear attack on New York and a nuclear bomb, there'd be a lot of discomfort among the people. I mean, that is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. We're talking about Arab missiles, Iranian missiles, been given to Hezbollah, and there is a great deal of evidence that suggests at least some of those missiles are going to be carrying biological and chemical warheads, that this would be devastating to Israel. And this is something, it's not a matter of if it's going to occur, it's a matter of when it's going to occur. We hear differing numbers of missiles. I'd like to know what Barry thinks. The figure I've heard is 45,000. Some people say it could be 100,000. What do you think?
Hamas has got 45,000 by itself. I mean, the number is about 120,000 and growing every day. Now, it's funny you would mention the biological and chemical weapons. On Tuesday, well, not so many days ago, Israel initiated its very first, they call it NBC, Nuclear Biological Chemical Defense Battalion. And, well, I read what they're trained for, and what they're trained for is, well, when I was serving the Air Force, you didn't have an entire battalion trained to help people who are victims of a chemical or a biological attack. And, well, that's just, as I said, we're doing sound bites today. That happened on Tuesday. Now, I should add that I didn't write an article. I only sent it to my readers that I, in short, my mail and my email and my radio show, everything is that. Just so troublesome now, so many troubles getting mail, a lot of troubles getting the emails out. I spent a lot of money updating the computer so it won't happen. So I wrote this article in large part to let people know if I go down, nothing personal here, but there seems to be more trouble than coincidence could account for. And I did a radio show the night before with Joel Skousen, and he was talking about the WikiLeaks. And he has a theory that, by the way, a lot of people apparently have, that that the excuse for shutting down whistleblowers is being handed to them by WikiLeaks if they didn't plan it themselves and use Julian for their own purposes, which, by the way, he believes that. By the way, I should mention, WikiLeaks has been great for Israel, and Joel seemed very surprised by this. Now, I mentioned in this sort of article of mine that WikiLeaks has been wonderful for me. Now, and Syria does not want to get involved in a destructive war and turn Iran down. Now, when I wrote this, a lot of people wrote me back and said, do you believe this story? You don't think that it's just to lull Israel a little more? And I wrote back and I said, it's the only information we have. This is all we've got. We've just got to speculate. WikiLeaks has been wonderful for Israel, I'll tell you. It forced Obama to renege on his pledge to the Arabs that the building freeze in Israel would continue. Even the defense minister, Barak, who is a shady enough person, but nonetheless I'm going to quote him, said that because of the WikiLeaks, America has laid off, Obama, he said actually, has laid off the pressure on Israel to stop building in Judea and Samaria. So as near as I can figure, I mean, these are wonderful. These are truths, many of which we should have known. Now, again, trying to put this all into perspective, you've got what you've got in Israel right now is a very, very frightening situation. And Israel has taken measures, not anti-missile systems, but they have got a battalion now just in case they are bombarded with chemical and biological weapons. There is a country in mortal danger like it's never been ever before. Ever. Now, right now within Israel, unreported, there is sabotage going on like nobody's business. Now, the report I got, and many people have sent it to me, that the media in Israel has hushed up the fact that the Arabs are starting fires everywhere. In the past week, this is after the Carmel forest fire, which again was not investigated. They're not going to blame the Arabs. They've got their patsies, and it was shut down. The truth was shut down. There have been 25 cases of arson in Israel's forest this week, and the media is not telling the people. Most people say because they want to protect the peace, and for that you don't lie to the people. You just simply don't tell them that there's 25 cases of arson in Israel's forest a few days after the most traumatizing fire in the country's history. The Arabs are burning the forest all over the place, and the Israeli people are not being told about it. But there are even stranger pieces of sabotage. Now, again, this is from 1 week, and I'm not going to expand. We don't have time to expand. But 2,000 liters of diesel fuel somehow poured from a tanker into the water system of Tzfat. And needless to say, if you drank the water, it was poison. In French Hill, that's a suburb of Jerusalem, just surrounded by Arab towns, but one night, somebody's cut 250 natural gas pipelines into houses. 250. And the neighborhood stunk of natural gas. In effect, it was a gas attack on Israel. You wouldn't believe how much gas leaks out of 250 pipes all cut at the same time. Again, they're not making a fuss about it. We just go on. There was an incident yesterday that, by the way, I got phone calls about from all over the place. The Israeli Air Force shot down what it called a suspicious unmanned object, which was flying over the Dimona nuclear reactor. And by the way, you do not fly over the Dimona nuclear reactor. There are very clear instructions to pilots everywhere, don't do that. Well, it turns out that this unmanned object was a balloon. That's what they're telling us. That they shot down some sort of weather balloon, except for one thing. I've got the first reports of this object. After it was shot down, it had an engine and it was guided. Somebody, for some reason, the most obvious thing is somebody was going to do something to the Dimona nuclear reactor. And that's the, they're not telling us. Now, I got phone calls. The news was so muffed up. I got phone calls from people who told me that there was an unidentified flying object over Dimona. And I would say to them, it's not unidentified, it's a balloon. And they'd be very disappointed. They had expected some profoundly out-of-this-world incident happened over Dimona. But no, no. But we don't know if it was a balloon. All we know, it was guided. It had an engine. I'm not even sure that, well, is there an unmanned, is there a drone that's a balloon?
I have never heard of it, but there'd be no reason why you couldn't have an inflatable balloon with a basket and a motor on that basket with a propeller on it so that you could guide it. And I'm sure with the technology we have today, you could guide it just about any place you wanted to.
Why would you bother if you've got a drone that can hover? Why would you take the trouble?
Well, maybe you don't have a drone that can hover. Maybe the people don't have that technology, but it would be a lot easier, I think, to make a balloon with a small engine and propeller on it than it would be to make a drone. That takes a lot of technology.
I would guess that it was filled with explosives. That's what I would guess, and they're not, again, they're not telling us.
Well, because everything is in secrecy, and this is wrong. I think the people have a right to know. We don't want to get the people to be worried. Well, if there's something to be worried about, you ought to be worried about it. And then we ought to find out who did this and really take strong action against them. And I'm sure they probably know, but they want to keep it secret. And they do that in Israel. They do that here in the United States.
Maybe, but the Israelis are right at the front. You think in French Hill they didn't smell the gas? You think in Spot they didn't know their water turned to diesel fuel? It's not that easy to hide.
Oh, it may not be over there, but at least in those regions, but to the rest of the people in Israel know about it, and certainly we're not hearing it here in the United States. If it weren't for your broadcast, why, we would have very little idea what's really going on over there. Barry, but at this point, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, and how they can get to your PayPal account, and then we'll go right on with the program.
Sure. Excuse me. Sure. You get my books at www.lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. You'll see a search box. Write in my name. C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's how you spell Chalmers, and you'll get to my books. My website is barrychalmers.com, and there is a PayPal button on the main page if you want to contribute to me, and I'm so grateful to you. I will send a really nice package of gratitude if you allow me. And if you would like me to speak or... Well, the DVDs are not sold on Lulu. You'd have to phone me for them. That would be 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. Back we go to Israel now. Now, again, what people aren't, well, what you don't know is that the Army is, I think it was 5 days ago, very recently, it was this week sometime, early in the week, the Hamas destroyed the Israeli tank. They have upgraded their anti-tank missile to the point that the tank was, well, destroyed as in a war. Even Israeli armor can't keep up with the missiles being aimed at it. Now I hear the music. Is that a break or the end?
No, that's a break, and then we'll have 3 minutes more after that.
Fair enough.
Go ahead.
Oh, fine. Yeah, I rushed that last point. The Army announced that sophisticated arms are coming over from Egypt.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, Israel is really in peril. All right, Barry, sophisticated arms are coming in from Egypt. Egypt could stop that tomorrow if they wanted to, and they're not doing it, obviously. Go right ahead.
Well, it's...
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Either on satellites or in planes or ground, and it will take out multiple incoming missiles. It is an incredible technology. It's been around for a long time. Nautilus, you can look it up on the internet, and of course they'll tell you it's not that it's being used, but it's not deployed. We have information from several sources I believe to be reliable that, of course, it is deployed and prepared for this coming missile attack. And the fact that the general would make this statement about, oh, there's no defense for the public, and the people are going to have to be prepared for discomfort, to me suggests that they are almost inviting an attack. Well, it's going to be interesting, and I hope and pray I'm right. I could certainly be wrong. All I have is certainly the information I get, which I believe is true, and sometimes I know that they feed me disinformation, but we're just going to have to wait and see how this unfolds. Under any circumstances, I think Israel is in peril. I think our country is in peril as well. Not only because, of course, we have no defense against a nuclear attack, absolutely no defense. The Russians have are fully prepared for a nuclear war. They have probably five times as many nuclear warheads as we do. You're never going to hear that, but it's true. And, of course, they are very sophisticated missiles. And we have none that we will admit to. Now, I suspect that the United States also has deployed anti-ballistic missiles that are not widely known to the public. Certainly, I don't believe the public knows. But if Israel has the Nautilus, then we have the Nautilus as well. But they are planning on a nuclear war. If you haven't read John Loftus's book, America's Nazi Secret, you need to read it, because John Loftus had the opportunity to go through the top secret archive. Somebody obviously wanted him to get the information out, and he got permission to put the information out, verifying what we've said and that is that 100 American corporations were in Germany building up Hitler's war machine so that within a period of 5 years after Hitler took over, a bankrupt and destitute nation with little military, he was able to begin moving against Alsace-Lorraine, against Austria, against the Sudetenland, and the following year in 1939 to plunge the world into World War II. And all during that war, American corporations, GM, Ford, IBM, ITT, Standard Oil, Bush Associated, George Bush's grandfather's bank, Harriman Bank, I believe it was. Anyway, but Prescott Bush was there. They were all helping and financing the Nazi movement, creating the best any money could buy. And we're doing the same thing with Communist China today and with Russia. We made Russia the largest producer of oil and the largest producer of natural gas in the world, thanks to American tax dollars and American corporations and American technology. You need to read my pamphlet. It's called The Communist Capitalist Alliance. It's an inexpensive Communist Capitalist Alliance. You need to read it. You need to see my DVD, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, to read Professor Sutton's book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, and then the book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Then if you get into the items, you'd like a copy of the letter. I found among Colonel House's papers a letter from the American ambassador to Germany in 1936, William Dodd, asking why 100 American corporations were building up the military potential of the German military when nobody there wanted a war. And Admiral, pardon me, Ambassador Dodd, it didn't make any sense. Well, very little makes sense unless you understand. We were building up the best enemy money could buy, the books America's Nazi Secret, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, the Best Enemies Money Could Buy book, the Best Enemies Money Can Buy video, and then, of course, if you want a free copy of that newsletter, we'll be glad to send it to you. Also, you need to see my DVD. It's called The World Revolution, and there you'll see my interview with Ambassador Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba, in 1959. When America brought Fidel Castro to power, he didn't win the revolution. We brought him to power. The best enemy money could buy. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grieg, former editor of the New American magazine, and certainly now has his own blog, and he's had his own radio station. I think he'll be back on the radio before long, but certainly one of our favorite guests. William, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure and a privilege. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Well, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
I want to share a story that I'm writing about and will probably be published sometime late this evening, probably early tomorrow morning on my blog, Pro Libertate, by way of an anecdotal illustration, but a very compelling one in my opinion, of the way that our Homeland Security apparatus is functioning today. And this also illustrates, by example, something that I've talked about, which is the fact that the pretense that we're living in anything resembling the federally, the federated constitutional republic created by our founders, that pretense is being dropped. It's being discarded right now. About 6 hours or so ago, I got a phone call from a fairly good friend of mine, very good friend, as a matter of fact, who lives around Boise. Won't share his name in this program. I'm going to be talking about him by name in my blog, but not listing his last name. He works at an industrial site in Boise. And late this afternoon, just, you know, a half hour or so before he called me, he and his coworkers noticed somebody materialize on their property. This fellow was wearing paramilitary fatigues. It was described as being a dark blue SWAT-style outfit, tucked into boots with mirrored sunglasses and a baseball cap and a sidearm. He drove up to the site in a black SUV marked Police, Department of Homeland Security. This SUV was equipped with running lights. He strode into the facility without so much as a buy your leave. He obviously didn't have a warrant. He didn't present a warrant. He didn't ask permission. He didn't ask for consent in order to conduct a search. But he was obviously conducting a search because he was peering into windows and looking through doorways and taking down copious and detailed notes on a clipboard. Nobody but my friend had the presence of mind or at least the rudimentary curiosity to ask what this individual was doing. So my friend, being a very forthright and very rarely intimidated sort, walked up to the individual and said, "Hi, who are you? What are you doing here?" And the reply he got was, "Oh, I'm just keeping you safe." Now, let's stop the story right here. What kind of person offers that answer? I just want to get inside the mindset of somebody who asked a straightforward question, "What are you doing here?" answers with a platitudinous, patronizing soundbite right out of some kind of a public relations seminar. I mean, these are people who, when they even deign to recognize that we have a right to communicate with them, will resort to sophomoric platitudes of that sort, or condescension of the type that reflects their sense that they are superior to us. And from that point, the conversation got a little bit more interesting and in some ways more ominous, because this apparently is just a routine thing now. We're to expect that these paramilitary operators in the Department of Homeland Security are going to make themselves comfortable barging into our places of work without explanation.
Well, did your friend ask this fellow from the Office of Homeland Security to identify himself?
Yes, he did.
And to leave the property?
Yeah, not to leave the property, but he did ask him to identify himself. That's part of the story that I'm working on this evening.
All right, fine. Are you going to tell us what happened?
Yes, I will.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with William Greig, but I think we have to be very concerned. If you have not yet seen Catherine Albright's excellent DVD, Surveillance Society, ladies and gentlemen, they're watching. Go right ahead, William.
My friend, as I pointed out, asked this individual what he was doing and didn't get an answer. He persisted, and interestingly enough, my friend was the only one of, I guess, a handful of people, half dozen or so, on site, who was in any way interested in what was going on, or at least was willing to display that interest by asking questions. As he persisted, my friend was continually rebuffed by this guy, and finally he was told that if he wanted to know what was going on, he was going to have to contact this guy's superiors in Seattle, Washington. But finally, after several minutes of polite but insistent questioning, my friend was rewarded by being given a business card that identified this individual as, and I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce the name correctly, Mark Ciccioni. It's an Italian last name, Ciccioni. And the title that this man had on his business card is like something out of Soviet bureaucracy. I'm not saying that by way of being japish or hyperbolic. He is the inspector for Region 10 of the East Command for the Department of Homeland Security's National Protection and Programs Directorate of the Federal Protective Service. Let me repeat that again. You have to take a rather deep breath. Inspector for Region 10 of the East Command for the Department of Homeland Security's National Protection and Programs Directorate of the Federal Protective Service. That's how he's identified by title on this business card. And the card contained a 24-hour toll-free hotline and also the cell phone number that this individual could use to contact this individual. And so after talking with my friend, I called this guy on the cell phone. He was driving at the time. And I introduced myself. I said, my name is Will Grigg. I'm a journalist from Payette, Idaho. I was informed that the Department of Homeland Security paid a visit to a workplace in Boise today, and I was just wondering if you'd tell me what was going on. And there was a brief pause, and the first thing he said, well, that's very interesting. Now, I don't think I can tell you anything about what I did. You'll have to contact my superiors in Seattle. And I said, well, it just strikes me as a rather odd thing that somebody from the Department of Homeland Security would be out making an inspection of a business. And he said, well, it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's perfectly routine. It's not as if something's going on. It's just part of my job, just part of my daily rounds. It's like asking a Boise police officer, he said, and I'm quoting him exactly, it's like asking a Boise police officer why he'd be making his rounds. And I said, but you're not a Boise police officer. You're a Fed. That's a different state of affairs that makes this newsworthy. And once again, he said that he couldn't tell me anything about the supposedly routine and ordinary thing that he was doing. I'd have to contact his superiors in Seattle. Now, there are two things about that little conversation. That's pretty much the entire
conversation. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. William eventually, of course, was able to find out who this gentleman was who was going into a private business there in Boise and actually checking it out and taking notes on it. And it turned out he was from the Homeland Protective Service, from the Office of Homeland Security of the 10th Region. And so basically William got the telephone number, called the man, and said, why were you doing that? I mean, why are you checking it? So I'm just like a Boise police officer just making his rounds. And William pointed out, but you're not a Boise police officer. You're from the federal government. What are you doing going into private businesses and checking them out? What is this function? Well, of course, it's all about protection. The government is there to protect us, but who are they protecting us from? Are they protecting us from Osama bin Laden? Are they protecting us from Al-Qaeda? Or are they spying on the American people in the name of protecting us from terrorists? And those of you who have not heard my mention, Lord James, a British peer, stood up in the House of Parliament on the 3rd or 4th of November of this year and said, I am financing terrorist organizations throughout the world. It sort of came up in the course of a conversation. He'd been challenged on something. He was pointing out it was really very important. He said he'd spent billions of pounds, not 1 billion pounds, but billions of pounds to terrorists, both in Ireland and in North Africa. Billions of pounds to terrorists. And he was doing this as a conduit for the Bank of London. Now, you can find the article on the Belfast Telegraph website. I mean, but not a word in the controlled media. You can find it on the Internet. We've got it, and we'll provide it for anybody who wants to see it. Who is really funding the terrorists? I mean, after all, you can't have a worldwide terrorist organization unless somebody's funding it. It's being funded, at least in part, according to Lord James, by the Bank of London, and I would think it's probably true because the article was totally blacked out all throughout the world. But now, of course, here in Boise, in the name of protecting us from the wicked terrorists, whoever they are, perhaps it's the terrorists who are being funded by the Bank of London, why, of course, maybe probably by the CIA as well. But now they're beginning to have their spies. And this man, well, go ahead, tell us the rest of the story, William.
One of the things I wanted to point out about this conversation that I found really interesting is, first of all, this reflexive and patently dishonest talking point that this gentleman threw in my face about him being just like a Boise police officer. Geographically, I suppose that's true. You've got somebody who's been issued a sidearm and he's wearing the habiliments of a government agency that calls itself a police agency, which is interesting that the Department of Homeland Security would have police vehicles that are identified as police vehicles. Presumably, the people who are driving those vehicles and wearing the insignia of that department would be authorized to conduct arrests like police officers. But he's not a police officer. He's not employed by the government of the city of Boise or by the state of Idaho. He's not accountable to anybody in any local government or any of the people who are presumably represented by those governments, however imperfectly, however occasionally that might be. He's somebody who won't even deign to answer straightforward questions that are well within the prerogative of any law-abiding citizen to ask, and of course should be answered by anybody who's a public servant. He's somebody who's employed by the federal government and is completely unaccountable to anybody in the population he's supposedly protecting. That's one thing that I find remarkable. The other thing I find remarkable about this, excuse me, is the use of the word directorate. Directorate is not a word of typical Anglo-Saxon American provenance. You don't find many offices in the Republican, small r Republican history of the United States, say pre-1913 or even pre-1945, pre-1969 or 72 vintage. You don't find many offices referred to as directorate. That's a word, however, that you find very prominently used in the literature of the Soviet secret police. I'm not trying to say that there was a conscious imitation in the use of that word. What I'm saying is that that is, to use an expression that you find sometimes being used by editors of magazines, that's an out-of-town word, meaning that's one that's not familiar, that's one that's not comfortable, and that's one that has a certain connotation that is foreign to our experience. But you have, once again, this entity called the Homeland Security Department's National Protection and Programs Directorate, and this guy's employed as an inspector for Region 10 of the East Command. Now, that type of language, once again, is foreign to America's experience of having locally controlled law enforcement, state police, county sheriffs, local police, municipal police, that sort of thing.
Well, let me tell you, I'm just looking on the Internet. I'm sure you've probably seen it, but Region 10 of the Office of Homeland Security involves certainly Oregon, Idaho, Alaska, mm-hmm. and the state of Washington. And, of course, what they've done is they've divided our country into 10 regions. The Homeland Security is there to protect us from... Well, what are they protecting us from? Well, there might be terrorists there, but literally every one of the that I can think of the terrorist attacks in America, except for the major, you know, was simply an FBI sponsored on operation, you know, mm-hmm. under one guise or another. The FBI set these people up, and certainly they are not not without the blame that they were foolish enough to actually think that they were going to blow up this, that, or the other thing. But there really is no threat other than that has been created and financed by our own tax dollars. Yeah. So why are we spending $40 billion a year on the Office of Homeland Security? That is what we are spending. $40 billion a year at Region 10. Suddenly is centered in Seattle, Washington, mm-hmm. and they're spying on the American people. Go
yeah.
right ahead.
Yeah, what they're doing has to be described as spying. It's a form of surveillance. It's lawless. It's warrantless. The presumption is that these people have standing permission to intrude on private property anytime they feel the whimsical urge to do so. But one thing about this particular entity, this Federal Protective Service Directorate, is that it's devoted to infrastructure protection and the protection of federal buildings and federal assets. And given that it calls itself a directorate and given that it's part of a centralized police state apparatus, I think that the appropriate analog would be, once again, something having to do with the Soviet Cheka, the Soviet secret police, and the analog that I find is to the ninth chief director of the old KGB, which was the bodyguards directorate, that is to say they provided physical security for people who were in the Politburo and the Presidium, people who were in the nomenklatura, the ruling elite of the Soviet Union. The ninth chief director provided them with bodyguards, and they were also in charge of protecting major government facilities, the Kremlin, as well as military facilities and, of course, whatever other elements of architectural infrastructure were important to the Soviet government. Well, that's the function being carried out by this element of the Homeland Security Department. Now, as it happens, this privately owned workspace, which was near the town, what do they call it, the major shopping mall, the Town Square Mall in Boise, is not that far from the... what do they call it? National Resource Consultation Service building. There's a complex in Boise that is used by a number of agencies that are involved in land management, water management, and various environmental ecological programs. And that's an interesting little juxtaposition because, first of all, obviously, that the idea is that because you have a private workspace that abuts federally owned property, and there shouldn't be any federally owned property. Look at the Constitution. There isn't license or warrant in the Constitution for more than the ownership of the District of Columbia and a handful of military installations. And this is not a military installation we're talking about. So to begin with, from a constitutional perspective, they've got no right to own the building. But they're exercising presumptive ownership over the private property that abuts the federally owned property. So that's an interesting and disturbing development. But Dr. Stan, you bring up a very provocative point here when you talk about the way that the federal government since 9/11, and before 9/11, but in an amplified and accelerated sense after 9/11, has been out chumming the waters, looking for patsies, trolling for people they can set up and take down in their little choreographed kabuki theater type ersatz terrorism plots. I've got to wonder if these people aren't talent scouting, trying to find people that can be set up that way, or perhaps scoping out territories, little tracts of land of opportunity to stage those type of little mini melodramas where you've got some patsy who's manipulated into taking part in an FBI scripted terrorist plot, a terrorist charade, and then at the last minute a dummy bomb is inserted or some other dramatic plot twist is unveiled where this person is arrested amid great drama and press releases are issued about how our vigilant guardians of public order have saved us once again from the dread hand of the jihadists. I don't know if that type of thing explains why people like this would be barging into private property and taking notes on what they find. But the point is, first of all, they don't consider themselves to be beholden to the Fourth Amendment. That shouldn't surprise us, given what's going on in airports right now, given the fact that warrantless wiretapping and intercepts of all types of telecommunications is now standard operating procedure. But the fact that this guy can simply swagger onto private property with a sidearm and start taking down notes and then deflect all questions as if he had no responsibility to answer, that incident in and of itself is illustrative of the arrogance with which our rulers are proceeding right now. They literally at the point where they figure that they owe us no explanation, they don't even owe us the decent hypocrisy of pretending to care about the limitations on their authority, the proper legal restraints on their power, and the need to defer to our rights and protect them. As far as they're concerned, if they can simply deflect our inquiries with some kind of a bromide about protecting us while they're undermining our liberty, that's all that we're entitled to, and we should be grateful, I suppose, that we receive that much from them.
And that really nothing has changed, you know, in thousands of years. You go back and read what Cicero wrote about the bureaucrats at the time when he lived. And basically he talked about, really, you know, said that we had to balance the budget and stop, you know, spending so much money overseas. But he talked about, you know, limiting the bureaucrats because, of course, they were actually, you know, they're using their power just to harass the people. I guess the human nature really doesn't change. Power corrupts, absolutely, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone, even when you're a government home Office of Homeland Security official.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Oregon. So basically, and that's a Region 10, and he came down to just sort of look around, and suddenly we were talking about bureaucrats. When you give them power, they will misuse it. I simply quoted from Cicero, who's very much against bureaucrats. In fact, at one time he said this, the budget should be balanced, the treasury should be refilled, the public debt should be reduced, the arrogance of officialdom should be tempered and controlled. And this assistance to foreign lands should be curtailed, lest Rome become bankrupt. Almost foreshadows exactly what is happening today. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the thing about Cicero that got him in trouble and eventually cost him his life was that he was utterly impavid in speaking out against the bureaucratic class and the tyrannical ambitions of people who had seized power purportedly in the name of public safety. It's the same thing that we're seeing today. Down to the intimate details, one of the things that, of course, provides a really striking continuity or parallel between now and the late imperial period of Rome is the fact that you've got the complete debasement of the currency as a result of an imperial foreign policy that cannot be sustained using hard money. You cannot have hard money and hard law and a globe-spanning empire. Those things simply do not coexist.
But, of course, what happens eventually with debt, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have to pay the interest on the debt.
Yeah.
And, you get to a point where you're paying, especially when interest rates goes up, as they've already started to go up in violation of what Ben Bernanke wanted, because he was going to spend the $600 to lower the interest rates, but they're going up. And when the interest rates get high enough, right now we're paying about $450 billion a year on interest. But that's with very, very low interest rates. When the interest rates go up,
eventually
all the money that comes into the government has to go to pay interest on the national debt. And then what happens? Why, of course, you just write everything off. You start it all over again. But you destroy nations, and that's how tyrannies are established. That's what happened in ancient Rome. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what's happening to America today. And they know what they're doing. In fact, this recent legislation that they passed where they actually lowered taxes. They cut taxes and increased spending. Why would you do something like that when you got a massive deficit and debt? Why, very simply, you want to destroy the nation. These people are not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know, but you go right ahead.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're seeing now, of course, and this plays into this general theme of imperial decline and the concomitant decay of institutions of order, liberty, whether you're talking about Cicero's era or today's era, and, of course, the bureaucratic constant here being people who profit by parasitically leeching on to the wealth created by productive industry. Today, what's happening is that the people who are in charge of maintaining public order are prepositioning themselves to protect the corrupt elite at all hazards against those of us who are their victims. Now, the question is, you're protecting us against what or from whom? They're not protecting us. They are protecting those who presume to rule us. That's, of course, the real story behind these facile, flaccid assurances of the sort that this individual, Mr. Caccioni, I believe is how you pronounce his name, offered to my friend Paul when asked, what are you doing? Oh, I'm protecting you. No, you're not protecting me. What you're doing is you're taking detailed information about what's going on at this place of business and industry. It was, if I remember correctly, the enterprise being carried out at this private work area was appliance repair. I mean, that's a very important thing in light of what's going on in the economy. People have to repair things. They have to make them last, you know, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. That was the couplet that was coined during the last Great Depression. People are relearning the virtues of thrift and frugality. And so these people were doing something useful and productive, and yet they were being made the subjects of official state surveillance by somebody whose job it is to protect the infrastructure of official wealth extraction and regulatory oppression. And you want to talk about a perfect microcosm of the system that we're seeing right now. There's a really good routine, quotidian, everyday, ordinary, unexceptional snapshot of business in the late American Empire. To the extent that this guy said that this is what he does, this is just his daily routine, he was being candid. He was an affable enough fellow, didn't strike me as being particularly vicious. But you know what? The vicious system that he serves exploits the decency of people who enlist in its service. And I think that this is a very commonplace thing that we're going to be seeing a lot more and a lot more frequently as our situation worsens.
But, of course, the one hope is that the whole system will go bankrupt. They're not going to be able to afford it. And basically what's going to happen is they're going to have to start cutting back on all these government departments. They've got $40 billion there in the Office of Homeland Security to spend. Now, if you've ever worked for government, you have money appropriated, you spend it. Doesn't matter whether you need to or not, you spend it. We'll be back in just a moment here with William Grigg.
While the storm clouds gather, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
Well, this is Dr. Stan back in. Of course, I guess it's William Grigg, and we're simply talking about what's going on with our society today. And people don't understand that so much of what goes on in government is just make work. And I basically one time interviewed a man named Otto Otepka. He'd worked for the State Department. He was in charge of screening out subversives, and he found that Walt Whitman Rostow, who was going to be appointed to a key position in the Kennedy administration, had strong ties to communism, and certainly he would. could not qualify for a government job. He was told to modify his report. He refused to do it. He was fired. He brought a lawsuit, so they put him back to work. And his job was to sit in the basement day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, cataloging the congressional record. He was not going to be given a job. They had to have him do something. So they put him in the basement cataloging the congressional record for 5 years till he could retire. And I've heard this exact same story over and over again. The government's got lots of money. And if you speak out and you tell the truth, they'll come after you. And if they have to hire you back, they'll give you a make-work job. Why didn't they just let him retire, you know, and not keep him there so many years cataloging this? Well, basically, they play a game. They've got this money. They're going to hire people. They're going to go out and do make-work jobs. And it sounds to me like this is exactly what this guy from the Office of Homeland Security is doing and collecting massive files, which will be put in the archives someplace and kept for 100 years, never seen by anybody. Go right ahead.
Well, of course, today with the data mining methods that are available, there's a better chance that the information that he catalogs, that he files into a database somewhere, will be used at least against somebody for some purpose other than the maintenance of public order conducive to liberty, which of course is the last thing government wants to be involved in right now. I think that the real moral lesson here is that you have perfect job security if you end up becoming an employee of the regime. First of all, as you point out, it's almost impossible to get somebody off the public payroll once that he's firmly ensconced there, particularly if he becomes unionized. But secondly, you've got all these people with nothing productive to do, and we've been told, of course, that idle hands are the devil's workshop. What kind of demonic, diabolical mischief will these people be put to?
Hold thought, Doc. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris William is simply asking about all these government bureaucrats. You know, they've got all this money. They've got to spend it. If they don't spend it, it won't get appropriated next year. They have to spend it because they have to justify all the money they're getting. And so they spend it year after year hiring people to do nonsensical things like going around getting records and spying on people because, after all, there might somehow be a terrorist out there. Osama bin Laden might have smuggled himself into the country and be hiding under a bed someplace. But, ladies and gentlemen, they have to have an enemy so we can justify the all-powerful government to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden or the wicked Khrushchev or the wicked Mao Tse-tung or whoever that wicked person is of the day, why that's the one we're to be protected against. Go right ahead.
Not only that, if you're talking once again about these people who are specifically involved in the apparatus of public security, homeland security, what these people provide is security, supposedly. That means there has to be some kind of a threat. And if there's not a threat, as you point out, one has to be manufactured. And the past performance of the last several years offers eloquent, redundant testimony to the fact that the Joint Terrorism Task Forces, those FBI supervised Soviets, if you will, these multi-jurisdictional councils that are scattered across the length and breadth of the country, the Joint Terrorism Task Forces, among other things, employ an entire army, like the Roman legions, in terms of its size and organization, of informants and provocateurs. You have to collect intelligence. You have to identify people who are susceptible to that type of enticement, and then you send out people to entice them. That's how the machinery manufactures the threats that sustain it. And when they're not doing things of that sort, the Department of Homeland Security, at least here in Boise, ironically enough, they find themselves involved in other activities that are no more reputable and no more consistent with liberty. And ironically enough, a few years ago, I think at this same location in Boise, the Natural Resource Center complex, there was an episode involving a man by the name of Dwight Scarborough. He's a retired Navy veteran who was employed as a scientist in one of the natural resource-oriented federal bureaucracies here in Idaho. So this guy had a security clearance as a fellow who was a scientist on an atomic submarine, a nuclear submarine, back in the late 1980s, if I remember correctly. And he had clearance to work as a federal employee. He was employed there at the Natural Resources Center in Boise, and he's also the organizer of a local chapter of Veterans for Peace. He's a military veteran. He's very much opposed to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He He doesn't like the way that the military is being used right now, and he tends to be oriented toward the Democrats rather than the Republicans in terms of politics, which, of course, is the source of some controversy here in Boise, which is perhaps the capital of what is perhaps the reddest state in the Union. In any case, February of 2006, this fellow shows up at work, and his pickup truck is festooned with all kinds of bumper stickers. At the time, of course, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney were in the White House, the Oval Office. And so he had a number of anti-Bush Cheney bumper stickers, among other things, calling for their impeachment, calling for investigations of lies that ended up manipulating the public into supporting the war in Iraq, that kind of thing. None of them were offensive, none of them were vulgar, but they were very forthright. He got a phone call around 2:15 in the afternoon on February 7, 2006, at his work desk. He answered the phone, and he was talking to a man who identified himself as Officer R. The last name wasn't used in the press account, of the Department of Homeland Security. Scarborough was told that he was in violation of the Code of Federal Regulations, which, of course, is the set of rules that govern the executive departments. He is an employee of an executive department. He was in danger of receiving a citation unless he went out to the parking lot or admitted the officer into his office. So Scarborough decided that he would go out to the parking lot and speak with the officer. He brought a tape recorder with him. He'd had previous experiences, controversies involving his political bumper stickers, and none of them, once again, involved material that would be considered offensive or pornographic or in poor taste. They were just simply confrontational, and they were at variance with the prevailing political sentiments of the Republican-centric electorate there in Boise. So he went up to the parking lot with a tape recorder, and he found himself confronted by not one, but two armed Homeland Security officers. What he was told was that, and I'm quoting now from a transcript that he made of the recording, there's a violation of the Code of Federal Regulations, and Scarborough said, for what? And he was told that he was in violation of a regulation governing posting or affixing signs, pamphlets, handbills, or flyers on federal property. And Mr. Scarborough replied, I'm not doing anything on federal property. And the officer said, yes, sir, you've got signs posted on your vehicle. I'm informing you that you're in violation. And Scarborough replied, that's not illegal. It's not illegal. And of course it's not illegal, Dr. Stan, because that's not federal property. That's his personal property. The same parking lot had literally dozens of vehicles in it, almost all of which had some kind of political bumper sticker, almost all of them expressing support for the war and support for Bush and Cheney, because once again, we're in Idaho and most of these employees are Republicans. His and maybe one other vehicle expressed sentiments that were at odds with those widely held opinions. But he had done nothing by way of disfiguring federal property. He had done nothing by way of posting handbills or affixing propaganda instruments of any kind to any of the surfaces or any of the properties that pertained to that federal bureaucracy. He just had his car sitting in the parking lot. And then, as the conversation proceeded, Mr. Scarborough said, you're at my place of work, you're harassing me. He said, you're in violation of the Code of Federal Regulations. In other words, the officer is just this Homeland Security. It's the Department of Homeland Security, once again. Keeps hitting that one key on the piano. And then, later on, he said, I've just given you an order and told you to remove those signs from the property. And proceeded in that vein for a little bit longer. One of Scarborough's associates, a female co-employee, showed up and started to talk with them. And the two officers, in a classic crowd control technique, tried to break them up. In other words, you're dealing here with what could be referred to as sort of the overture toward an arrest, because this guy had a vehicle on which he had displayed bumper stickers. Perfectly within his rights, entirely within, of course, his rights as a federal employee, and more importantly, his rights as a citizen. It turned out that he moved his car rather than to allow this confrontation to metastasize into an arrest or some kind of physical violence. He removed the car to a neighboring property where it could have been towed, ironically enough. He put it in the parking lot of the Goodwill thrift store, which was right next door to the office where he was working. So if the owner of Goodwill had taken offense, the owner of Goodwill, exercising his property rights, could have arranged for the car to be towed, because this wasn't a customer, after all. he was just storing his car there rather than putting it in front of the parking lot, or in the parking lot in front of the building where he was employed. But the thing that I find really interesting about this, once again, is the fact he had two armed officers at the Department of Homeland Security show up and harass this guy over the content of the political bumper stickers on his car. Whether you agree with his sentiments or not, the fact is that he had done nothing that was illegal and did nothing that was improper. Now, this story became even more interesting. I wrote about it when this first happened about 4 years ago. I've still not been able to contact Mr. Scarborough and talk with him directly, although he's given a number of interviews about his experience. The thing that I find really interesting is that at the time this happened, nobody in the state of Idaho, in an official capacity, was able to explain who these two armed people were and on what supposed authority they were acting. Let me read just very quickly from the first account of this, which was published in an independent journal called the Boise Weekly. If you're unfamiliar with the Boise office of the Federal Department of Homeland Security, you're not alone. There's not a listing for it in the most recent federal government listings in the local phone book. The representative from the Idaho State Bureau of Homeland Security, located at the Gowan Field Air National Guard Base behind the Boise Airport, let me stop right there. In other words, it's a military function, at least it was at the time, hadn't even heard there was an office when I contacted him. Neither had the receptionist at the local U.S. Marshal's office, although she was able to track down a number for the local office of the Federal Protective Service. Let's stop right there. That's the same branch of the Department of Homeland Security that was involved in this warrantless illegal search today at this place of business in Boise. And I can't help but suspect that he was doing the same kind of surveillance. In other words, trying to collect information on perhaps the political sentiments of people who are in this place of business next to a federal facility. It was the same federal facility, if I'm not mistaken, where this incident took place 4 years ago. I was only able to confirm, continues this story from 2006, the location of the office after asking the security officer at the Natural Resource Complex, whose job, ostensibly at least, is to enforce the rules concerning pamphlets, dogs, and other controlled substances on federal property. He would not comment about the incident, saying, if this is about what I think it's about, I'm not allowed to say anything. He referred me to FPS, that's the Federal Protective Service, Federal Courthouse, Department of Homeland Security, to find someone who would be able to comment. When I asked who I should say referred me, he covered his nameplate with his hand. The office, once I found it, wasn't much of an office at all. From a service perspective, the door was locked and there was neither a receptionist nor a desk at the front window. When I rang the doorbell, a woman emerged from a nearby cubicle and spoke to me through a tennis ball-sized hole in the window. She would not confirm the name or identity of the officers, nor their badge numbers. Scarborough, of course, had written them all down. I slipped a business card through the hole, and by press time, no one had called me back. However, when I tried the number provided by the U.S. Marshals, Terry Martin of the Federal Protection Service was able to confirm that the officers identified by Scarborough did in fact work for Homeland Security. He then referred me to the Department of Homeland Security's media spokesman in Texas. In Texas, they had to call Texas in order to find out what these people had been doing in Boise, Idaho, when they harassed this guy because of the political bumper stickers on his car. Now, as it happens, because such a stink was put up by Mr. Scarborough, working through independent media, the Progressive Magazine, which is a left-leaning civil libertarian publication in Wisconsin, and also Boise Weekly, some independent journals of that sort, local radio, a couple of national radio programs picked up on the story. Because there was enough of a fuss kicked up over this, Mr. Scarborough wasn't given a citation, wasn't given any harassment when he went back to doing what he had normally done, which is parking his bumper sticker-covered car in the parking lot in front of his office there at the Natural Resources Complex in Boise. And he was talking about the possibility of filing suit against the Department of Homeland Security because of the treatment it received, and I've still not been able to find out what happened, whether there was a settlement, whether he decided simply to drop the suit, or if there was some other resolution to the issue, because as I said, I've been trying for 4 years to contact him, and I've not had any success. I put out a call to him today and left a left a voicemail message with him, and I still haven't heard back from him. And I haven't heard back, by the way, from Mr. Criccioni either. He promised that he'd call me back with contact information for his supervisors in Seattle, and he needed a phone number in order to do this, and I provided it to him because that's a matter of public information. I'm not providing them with anything they don't already know. And given the fact that I'd initiated the call, he probably got my number on caller ID anyway. But the point is, nobody is accountable. Nobody is willing to admit what they know if they know something. You have this labyrinthine mechanism that is intended to protect people from accountability and intended to frustrate those of us who seek to know what's going on from learning what's happening. And in order to find some kind of supervisory control over these people, we're referred to anonymous distant bureaucrats who live hundreds or thousands of miles away from the scene of the given outrage or infraction. Seattle is a good day's drive from Boise, a couple hour plane flight. It's not as distant as Texas, obviously. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out why you would have somebody from Texas who'd have some involvement in the Homeland Security Department's doings in Boise, Idaho. When I looked into this earlier case 4 years ago, I called and was finally able to talk to a human being of the Department of Homeland Security office in Texas, and nobody there could explain to me why I'd been referred to Texas to find out about something that had happened to the state of Idaho. But that's the nature of a metastasizing police state apparatus. They're all-encompassing in the sense that anytime there's a visible, organized expression of dissent, you can expect that they will be paying attention to what's going on and perhaps taking information for use in future harassment or persecution or prosecution of people who are deemed to be enemies of the state. But in terms of trying to find out what they're doing and who's accountable, what the policies they are that they're following, the legal basis for their actions, if any, is completely opaque and impenetrable. And that's, once again, a very telling illustration in miniature of the system that is so much with us today. And my suspicion here is that if you're not dealing with a mere fishing expedition on the part of the people who carried out this inspection today, you're perhaps dealing with anticipation, preemptive intelligence in anticipation of some civic unrest that will erupt when finally the economic collapse that is ongoing accelerates and becomes an outright, all-encompassing crisis and catastrophe. And on that point, Dr. Stan, it's important to take a look at what's been going on in Europe.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there. First of all, I think that they're collecting dossiers on everyone, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen my FBI file. I mean, this was probably 20 years ago. Page after page after page blacked out in the name of national security. What was my crime? Why I was speaking out against communism. I subscribed to the communist publications. I spoke out against it. Page after page after page blacked out in the name of national security. Who were they protecting that information from, and how was that going to... But every time I'd given a talk, and you should remember this, William, every time I gave a talk and it was covered in the newspaper, they had the clipping.
Mm-hmm.
They were collecting clippings on everything I did over a period of... Well, from the time I got started in 1962 up until about probably 1995 when I got my FBI file. Before we go on, I want you to go ahead
All
and
right.
get out your webpage and tell people how they get in touch with you and tell them how to get a hold of your PayPal button.
Okay, thanks so much, Dr. Stan. My blog is called Pro Libertate, ProLibertate. Go to Google and type that in with my last name, Grigg, and that should be the first result. I also write at lourockwell.com. Pro Libertate's URL, its web address, is freedomintourtime.blogspot.com. And at the bottom of every essay, and I'm going to be writing about an essay about this issue and posting it probably tomorrow morning, at the bottom of every essay there is a PayPal button that people can use in the event that they have the means and some interest in contributing to keep the blog up and running. I really appreciate the fact that many of your listeners have been very generous helping me out in that respect. Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
And I appreciate it as well. I mean, William's got 6 children and a wife to support, but he spends his time doing this and educating the American people. Now, why don't we go ahead and we can talk about what's going on in Europe, because I think it's really very important, and I think it foreshadows what's going to be going on here.
Yeah.
We'll be back in just a moment with William Greek. Ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing the breakdown of the financial structure of the world. It's all about debt. It was that same thing in Rome. It's happening today. Go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, when...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.